Yo, 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 welcome back to the Hollow Nine Spotlight, our interview podcast for the Hollow Nine Network. That's the word hollow, the number nine, I-N-E. Thank you for joining us. I'm sure you know how to spell it by now if you found us. I am your rambly host, Dave the Clone, obviously shaking off some cobwebs. Oh, how apropos, because I'll be introducing right now one of the first of a few interviews we've got coming out from the recently attended New Jersey HorrorCon and Film Festival. This is only the second time I've attended this event, and very quickly it's becoming one of my favorites. If you live in the New Jersey area, and this past one was in Island, New Jersey at the Woodbridge Renaissance Hotel. Very cool venue, second time there. I'm seeing now, though, as this is getting ready to come out, that plans for the next one in September are already underway, and it's moving locations to Showboat in Atlantic City, which, I mean, just that alone, the badassness just got kicked up a level. So speaking of badass, let's go to the first of our slew of interviews coming out from this event. And this was really cool, and I'm glad we're releasing this one after our last interview with Eric and Tom from My Horrific Life, because that little moment at the end there where I wound up doing my interview, my impersonation of Andrew Devoff, wound up coming into play at this particular event because Andrew Devoff was there. So we got to hang out with him for a few minutes. And I'll let the event unfold for y'all at home. And thanks for checking us out. Hope you enjoy it. And we'll be back with more from the Hollow Nine Network. But for now, New Jersey HorrorCon Fall Edition 2018. A few minutes with Andrew Devoff.
That was super cool. I spoke to her and Todd. We got really deep on the psychology of why people are into horror and stuff. So it was interesting to talk about how I actually find one of your non-horror roles probably one of your scariest roles, and that's the Toy Soldiers, the Lewis Cowley role.
Okay.
But I don't know, we kind of just jumped into it here. I'll kind of do a quick intro.
I like it.
But I'm sitting here at the 2018 March New Jersey HorrorCon with, to me, a living legend, Mr. Andrew Devoff.
I appreciate that.
Thanks very much.
I
thanks for giving
that.
Us a couple minutes, man. This
My
is kind of like very, very special because you were one of the first people I was really like, holy shit, there are like guys out there in the real world who are like really monstrous. But I'm sure there was sort of like a human side to it too. How do you go about processing and building a character like that?
Well, you know, first and foremost, it's the writer. I mean, it all depends on the script and the writer and really the crew, and of course, ultimately the cast and working together. But you know, the writing defines sort of the parameters, and it's the actor's job to push them, you know, push the envelope, as it were. So, I mean, without you know, going overboard, where possible to heighten the reality, that's what we do.
Yeah.
It's our job.
I gotta say that one moment that stands out, if you don't mind me gushing a little bit
yeah,
over
yeah.
No, when you've got all the students lined up and you ask the one and you're like, do you speak Spanish? And he says no.
Right.
So you turn around and tell him I killed them all in Spanish, and he's like, oh no, and you're like, oh, I thought you didn't speak Spanish. I've actually wanted to learn how to speak Spanish just to do that to somebody. You know, just to catch somebody in a lie like that. And it was that kind of like that you are just sort of a normal guy going about something that you really believe
yeah,
in, you
yeah.
know. I think one of the cool things is always how the villain is sort of the hero in their own mind.
Mm-hmm.
But then how does True. That translate when you're playing sort of like something like the Wishmaster, where it's kind of got this other magical element to it, there's a
yeah.
whole lot of otherworldly stuff going on?
You know, when it, unfortunately, for the djinn, he's got to wait for the wish to be made.
Mm-hmm.
And that's so everything else is icing on the cake. Everything else is fun, you know, he gets to, twist people's wishes. And I thought it was really, really cool the way Peter Atkins brought that that kind of, evil, twisted, literally, humor into the piece. And I decided to, you know, really, really enjoy that, savor those moments and wait for the wish that you can tell that... As he's waiting, the djinn's eyes get bigger and bigger because here, you know, here it goes, here it comes.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, no, but there again, thanks to Peter Atkins and Robert Kurtzman for their wonderful writing and directing, respectively.
Mm. Mm. Now, would you say that there's a certain element of more fun playing the bad guy than there is in playing a good guy?
Absolutely. Yeah, I did a couple of good guy roles, and I got a little antsy on the set because being a good guy all the time, you don't really get to have a whole lot of fun. You get to fix stuff and take care of stuff and protect people, but you don't really. As the antagonist, it's such a broad spectrum of what the bad guy can do. For instance, if a good guy scolds his puppy, he's done.
Mm-hmm.
But that's where the bad people live.
If you have one or two more minutes, just because we have to talk about Lost. I was such a huge Lost fan, and my room number was a Lost number. I had room 342, and I'm like, that's the last three digits in the string. So, and with you here and with Biling here, I was just like, okay, there's a whole bunch of island dwellers here. with that part in particular, one of the things I loved that you did was starting off in that sort of seeming like a good guy,
mm-hmm.
and then you have that moment where the whole thing flips. I'm very embarrassed to tell you, I do a pretty decent impression of your guy when he has that line with the...
Tell me.
Oh, do I have to do it for you?
Yeah.
So you had Saeed and Kate are talking to you. And
Naveen and Evangeline, beautiful people.
And they're asking you these kind of questions where you realize, like, okay, they know what's going on, and you say...
Why do we continue to play this little game when we all know it has moved to the next stage?
And I was just...
That's very cool.
I've never done that before, like actually done an impersonation of somebody right like
cool.
to their face. So thank you for
being
cool with that. But I just remember watching that and my jaw dropped because I was like, you know, like that...
It was electrical. It truly was. Even in the scene, I could feel it. It's almost as if... I was plugged into the wall, man,
and
everybody else, the energy, and just Naveen and Evangeline sort of looking at each other like, what in the hell is going on?
Yeah.
And then that moment, that pause, and it was truly electrical, and thankfully it translated on screen.
Yeah. The confidence of that moment, you know, when it's like, oh, okay, let me put this down because I'm done with this. And I was just so methodical. I loved it. So
that was wonderful. I was just saying I was in doing a photo shoot and with a patch, and the person was also wearing a patch and said, yeah, I get kind of dizzy doing this. And I said, imagine doing a fight with one eye. And Naveen was wonderful in that. He was very, very adept. And I must say, some of my favorite times on the set were the breaks,
mm-hmm.
and Naveen would pull his guitar out.
Oh,
Wow.
Man, that must have just been a whole other life making that show.
It truly was. It was absolutely, I was the luckiest guy on the planet, and it was just wonderful to be there. So I say great spirit, great cast, and I still have Ohana on the islands, a lot of family, a lot of people that I remember and stay in touch with that I truly consider family. And if it hadn't have been for the community, it would have been a different vibe on the whole show. But thanks to the people of Oahu and the surroundings for making it such a magical experience.
Mm.
Absolutely.
So you want to tell us about your brewery real quick? You want to throw a couple plugs out there?
Because
I got to say, for a guy who plays so many bad guys and a lot of stuff, you're so chill. It's so awesome talking to you, man.
This has been
a pleasure. So
I appreciate that.
Absolutely happy to kind of throw some more
promotion
out there for
you. So keep an ear and an eye out. I figure I've got about 45 days to wait until I can actually start putting my beer on a shelf. And it's called Gin's Hellebrew is my Belgian Golden Strong Ale.
Nice.
Comes in at about a 10.2 ABV, spiced with habaneros and Persian lime. And we have a whole array of beers that we're putting out. Excuse me. But we'll start with the Gin's Hellebrew, and one of the things I'll be doing my fourth charity pour this year, and this will be the third time that we're raising money for the Mountain Film and Theater Arts Committee, which we support and donate two scholarships a year.
Wow.
So $2,000 a year go to that, and we hope to have such a such a varied pool of talent this year that maybe we'll break that into four.
Nice.
And give four kids $500 to help them, you know, with books and gas money, whatever they need to, you know, so they can pursue their dreams. But please follow up on Instagram, and we have a website as well, Three Marm Brewing Company, and that's M-A-R-M. And people wonder what that was. Our history was we were a logging crew. I ran a little logging crew. We had a crane, 75-ton crane, and a climber cutter. And a marm is the crotch in a tree that that every climber cutter loves to see, because that's where they stage their climb. They started there. That's sort of base camp. And so we called it. I have a three marm tree in my yard up in the mountains at home.
Oh, nice!
And so we called it three marm. And stay tuned, kids.
Nice.
Lots of beer coming your way.
Yeah, and it's always the villains on screen doing the good stuff for people in real life. That's pretty awesome, man.
That's so cool.
Thank you very much, man. I really appreciate it. This is a pleasure and
a
half, man.
Thank you.
All right, that was pretty freaking awesome. I mean, I gotta say, I never. Not only do I not get the chance to, but when you're kind of just hanging out watching these things at home, you never really think, oh yeah, this stupid impersonation I do of that character, I'll probably wind up doing that for the guy who played him one day. So that was quite the moment. Such a cool dude. So rad. I hope I get to run into him again sometime. Please go check out all of the stuff. We have it all linked in the show notes. And thanks again for checking us out. Come back next time, where I think we've got up next our interview with Keith Coogan, who you'll remember from such classics as Toy Soldiers, also featuring Andrew Devoff, and Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead, and Adventures in Babysitting, basically all the stuff I grew up watching. So thanks for checking us out. As always, Hollow Knight Network, check out the business on your way out the door, and we'll see you next time on another episode of Spotlight.
Listening to the Hollow Nine Network, bringing you the very best in fan-made media. That's the word hollow, the number 9, INE. Now broadcasting from our new home on the web, hollow9.com, where you can find info on all of our awesome programming as well as the team behind the shows. Leave us your feedback, join in the conversation, and be a part of the action. Find the Hollow Nine Network on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat. Rate and review us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or wherever you find your podcasts. Email us at info@hollow9.com or at hollow9podcast@gmail.com. Join in the fun. Hollow 9.